not good news.
It's R.A.D.
Just the good stuff, baby.
Could a quirked up white boy with a little bit of swag go live?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
All right. We got three quirked up white boys with little bits of swag, so.
Small bits of swag.
Does three equal one?
Small.
One mega quirked up white boy?
Like a Megazord. I picture the Megazord being like that picture of John Lennon walking all funny. Like that's the when the five quirked up white boys make a mega white boy.
Their pants are so big.
And the green white boy is the cane. The sixth white boy.
Yeah.
With the flute.
Oh God, he's got matcha, everyone.
I have a pet peeve. I have a lot of them, but this is the one I thought about when I was getting ready. I can do them all if you want to do a 99 Theses podcast, but
let me cancel my plans.
if you got a church door,
it's got to be a big one.
Where would you nail up all of your grievances? Not a church door.
God, it's all on Twitter nowadays.
I guess so.
Twitter if not the Luther's church door of the internet?
Yeah. I feel like every town has someone who puts their grievances in the public library door, and it's just part of being a town is you have a guy who does that.
He's got a character.
You got a weird guy. They got me. So a lot of movies take place in New York. I feel like growing up, every movie like took place in New York and was filmed in New York or like Central Park. And nowadays, because of the tax incentive, all the movies are filmed in Georgia. But I was watching Game Night, which is explicitly shot in Georgia. I recognized it, but it doesn't take place in Georgia. And I think movies should have to take place in Atlanta if they're going to film, because I feel like Atlanta's getting no representation. Like it's like, well, here we are in New York and they're like at the Varsity.
Right. Yeah. I see that for
Game
sure.
Night. Great film.
You don't get to do New York face.
What's the line from Game Night? What would Frito-Lay's gain from that?
How is that profitable? To what Bastion and I owe the pleasure.
Well, they get the little thing at the end, the Made in Georgia. That's always
fun. Get the little logo that goes up. But I'm with you, Will. It's similar. Like I think Vancouver often shoots for like random towns pretty often too. And Georgia's
Toronto does.
Yeah,
for
Toronto.
For fake New York does Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia's just kind of, it has everything, including Trillis Studios, where just a whole bunch of green screens are, so you can just make whatever. I remember
volume is here.
I had a similar moment watching Prisoners, if you guys have ever seen Prisoners.
Yes.
No. Great movie.
What's Prisoners?
It's a Denis Villeneuve's crime drama. It has Hugh Jackman, Terrence Howard, Viola Davis,
it's like
Paul Dano.
Dune took place in Fayetteville.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Watching it, I was like, oh, this is so clearly Georgia. Like they're driving through like suburban streets and it's like gray and rainy out. It's supposed to be November on Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh yeah, that looks like Georgia for sure. And I remember checking the filming location and being exactly right. So that was nice to see. I don't know if it's supposed to take place in Georgia, but it very clearly is.
It should have to. If you're gonna, you should at least give us the tourism.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead did kind of.
Like right now. I mean, it's Walking Dead, Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Real Housewives of Atlanta. Baby Driver was obnoxious.
Baby Driver.
In Atlanta.
The Avengers, the two recent ones, was shot in Georgia State's campus. You can, like, it's literally right in the middle of Georgia State's campus that they fight one of the aliens.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Like, the Central Park one?
Yeah, it's quote-unquote Central Park.
But it's...
Same with Anchorman 2.
Yes, yeah. It was that one park.
Yeah, pass it every day.
It's not even a great park.
No, it isn't.
Baby Driver was really funny because they got so many things about Atlanta right, like a Goodfellas pizza and stuff. And then there's a scene where he gets off the highway and he takes an exit and he gets stuck in traffic on the off ramp. And it's an exit I take every day that has never had traffic at that on ramp. I was just like, no, you wouldn't. It would be two more blocks before you hit traffic.
That's great. Too bad that movie is super canceled.
Yeah, no one okay is okay. It's like the Oscar selfie of movies.
Yeah. I mean, Don Hamm's still all right.
For now.
So is Jon Bernthal.
For now.
John Bernthal.
I do love John Bernthal.
He is. He's in the very beginning. He says, if you don't see me again, I've died. And then he's not in the rest of the movie.
Amazing. I saw that movie once, drove my little red car, listening to Bell Bottoms like two or three times. And that's I was like, okay, I got it.
It's got, what's his face? It's got Paul Williams as an arms dealer.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Will didn't forget.
Will didn't forget.
Will knows his Paul Williams cameos. Dexter's Lab, this.
Random Access Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce the podcast? Whose week is it?
Speaking about randomly accessing memories.
I'll take this week. This week, this is Radish, and this is the podcast where we just sit and name actors in movies and go, yeah.
Any relation to Wade Boggs?
You ever passed a bar and see three guys talking and wish, I wonder what they're talking about? We're giving you that experience.
It's that. Nothing good. And I'm Tyler. I don't know if I said that yet.
I'm waiting for Will to go.
waiting for Will to go.
I'm Will, and this is what guys who can't name a lot of baseball players talk about.
It's just actors. It's movies. I'm Sean, and I'm staring down my couch because I know I'll be sleeping there tonight because I spoiled today's Wordle for my wife. So,
I didn't even know that was still a thing.
Yeah. Once we hopped on the connections train pretty early, and once we get into the connection swing, we're like, let's get back to Wordle. And so, unfortunately, I inadvertently spoiled it for ex-producer, current wife, Peyton. Still producer. I don't know.
You could be a producer. We talked about this. You could be a producer and a wife. Producer. Look at Christopher Nolan.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the H3 podcast.
Well, I don't know. Right.
I don't know if we're allowed to. I saw a tweet somewhere that said that H3 podcast has devolved into the husband nervously reading off his tweets and his wife giving him nothing. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Gah.
Ethan was everywhere for a while, but then just kind of fell off. Or I guess he has a dedicated community.
Mm. Yeah, you can't just keep making the same episode of a podcast over and over again and expect it to be good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's
we have a podcast feed now. H3 podcast. It's on site. We're doing things a little differently today, folks. That's why I was a little tongue-tied there for a second. We just got a bunch of news and discussion topics we're going to discuss today. Yeah. Sprinkle in a little bit of show and tell, go a little bit more freeform, and start next week, folks. We're going big. We're going to be on YouTube, so look out for that.
The last Twitch week, it was supposed to be YouTube tonight, but YouTube said, you got to wait 24 hours before asking for to get it, because they don't want you being like, can I stream right now? Please, it's urgent. Nothing can come of that.
I don't have a weapon.
I've got this paper bag. It's got my lunch in it.
It's got a fresh can of paint. I'm going to sniff it.
I eat a gun for lunch every day.
Y'all remember that Willy Wonka experience that was like old by the time we released our podcast about it?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, we're doing better than the people that are like, we're going to option it for a movie or a musical. Like, no one's going
to
care.
I was about to say.
I don't know if you've read the doc.
I have in my notes here that they are making a movie.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, is that they announced both a movie and a musical for it.
They announced a musical for it?
I just saw news that a musical is in the works.
Amazing. You're absolutely amazing.
Co-workers are going to love this movie.
Right?
I feel like it's the same sort of thing as like the Winnie the Pooh free use and the Steamboat Willie free use. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're releasing horror movies because it's in the free use and we're going to make them fucked up now. No one gives a shit.
Yeah. Why can't someone just be like, oh, Steamboat Willie is free use. I'm going to make a second Steamboat Willie cartoon with charming animation.
Yeah.
It's always right. Like, I'm going to have him kill someone.
He's going to hunt down teens.
They're making an unknown movie. So, of course, and it's going to be a horror film. It's going to be terrible. But my question to you is there any world where it could be good, and how could it be good?
Yeah.
Who would you cast as the unknown?
Paul King makes it as the sequel to Wonka, and it's a musical.
Okay. Will's like, no. Or Sean's like, no.
I did watch Wonka this past week. I think it would only be good in the way that like 50 Shades of Grey ended up being good in that it's a fan fiction of sorts inspired by this one cultural event, similar to how 50 Shades of Grey was initially just a Twilight fan fiction. But they're right. Like, oh, this is good. You just got to change up the names. So if they took like the unknown concept and were just like, okay, but we're going to make it unrecognizable from a meme in early 2024, then maybe it'll have like something. But like if it's only riding on the coattails of like, remember this, I don't think it can be good.
So they need to fully lean into it, like millions and millions of dollars to develop the origin of the unknown.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's either
optioning the unknown movie makes it quote unrecognizable. <That's> the entire point of it is, hey, remember this thing that happened.
Yeah.
You got to have a movie ready to go with like waiting on a creepypasta character to come out and be like, cool, strike it now, release it today.
Yeah.
Right.
Written by ChatGPT.
Oh.
I don't know. I'd be interested if they did it kind of like a meta movie, like The Big Short, of like how this whole thing came to be and how like absolutely got out of the hands of these people and they doubled and tripled down on it and all of that. Maybe get Will Poulter involved.
You love him.
We really like to see Will Poulter.
He's great. In this.
It's very similar to like when they made Dumb Money. It was just kind of like, oh man, remember this? We're gonna make a movie out of it. And when it came out, everyone was like, yeah.
And you know what? It's a good airplane movie. Like it, you know, it'll pass the time. Paul Dano. We talked about this last time. Paul Dano. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
they're making airplane movies, or they're making like the equivalent of like the weird horror movie you'd see on the Blockbuster shelf, the one that you would always see every time you never rent, but it's like the Jack Frost knockoff.
Silence of the Lambs. That cover always scared me at Blockbuster because it was a bug with a skeleton on it and nothing scarier than that. They have to cast the unknown equivalent to Timothy Chalamet, who of course is Lucas Hedges, is the opposite of Timothy Chalamet.
Right.
If anyone was to live in that boy's walls. What is that?
I could see that.
What is that? Oh man.
Well, good luck to these people making the unknown movie. We probably won't see it, or if we do, it'll end up on Bad-ish. So, is this true? They made a new Star Wars Battlefront, or is this a remake?
So, no, it's just ports of the old games.
They ported. It's just a port.
Yeah.
Well, if you played the old games, you'd probably have a better experience. They ported Battlefront 1 and 2, the PS2 games, to modern consoles. When it launched, there were three servers. Each one held 64 players. And like 100,000 people bought this game because it was like 19 bucks.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you're going to play the games from your childhood. And everyone's like, oh, I'll get this. And like, it got really good like pre-reviews. And apparently, when it launched, it only accommodated 180 players.
That's nuts.
They eventually got the servers booted up. And people have just been having it. It doesn't have half of the features of the PS2 one.
Oh, like, damn.
It doesn't have like the settings that you can change. Like you can't invert the Y axis on the controls for the ships.
Oh.
And if you get in a ship, it crashes the game on consoles. And so people are just having a horrible time with these. And they're like, you could have just put out the PS2 disc and you could have played the PS2. And it would have been a better game than paying $19 to not play it on PS5.
What a bummer.
I don't understand this. Especially since it's just a port, they're like, hey, let's port this. And then someone up the ladder said, wait, let's make this worse. I don't understand why this would be a thing.
Get rid of the features. Slim it down.
Who makes these games?
Is it EA?
It might be EA.
It's EA.
Because I remember, most recent Battlefront being a blast. I played that on PS4. I put a lot of hours in that one.
And even that was kind of not everyone liked that game.
It did not. Yeah, Battlefront 2 did not get a lot of love when it dropped. But the community has been real fun, and the games I've played have been a lot of fun. Especially when you play as a little Ewok and you kill stormtroopers. Rules.
Can you do emotes?
No.
Ewok emote?
It was pre-Fortnite, so there are no emotes.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
But Lady Gaga is still in it.
Lady Gaga's still in it.
Yeah.
Have we determined if it's made by EA?
It is EA. It's not made by, it's published by EA.
So it's Lucas.
They probably got someone. Yeah, they got somebody. I think the first one is like Pandemic Studios, which.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yikes. Yeah, couldn't have that today when they were in the middle of one.
Right. Well, you got to take this next one. This Helldivers. I haven't started it up yet. So
Helldivers, I talked about a little bit on the last episode. The developers have developed kind of a kayfabe to it, which I really like, where the developers make all of their announcements and patch notes and stuff as if they are the top brass in this fake war. And they announced that there was a new plan to permanently exterminate bugs on four planets. And all we had to do was activate these towers and release this gas that would basically bug bomb the planets.
Sick.
And, well, people were like, if you've read the flavor text on some of the items in Helldivers, you find out that the entire bug thing is people's fault from, like, mining activity and stuff. And the Helldivers have been sent in to cover it up, and the rogue settlements you're sent to destroy are people who are broadcasting what actually happened. So you're trying to squash the truth from getting out in the name of democracy. Well, somebody was like, hey, what if we set off the bug bombs and it causes the bugs to mutate? And of course, people are also commenting in character and they're like, heresy, how dare you defy democracy? And which rules? And then so they set off the bug bombs.
Forums or?
Yeah, Twitter comments, Reddit posts. And it's on the Helldivers subreddit. So they finish it's called the Major Order. There's like a guy who's the game master of Helldivers who puts these objectives in the game. And can like rebalance the war and stuff if it's going too well or too poorly. So they finished the objective and they deployed the bug bombs on the four planets. And then people playing started noticing flying bugs.
Oh my
and
God.
So one of the guys clipped it on Twitch and tweeted it at Arrow. I think it's Arrowheads, the developers of this. Yeah. And it was like, what is this? And Arrowhead's boss retweeted it and called him a bug sympathizer and said, bugs cannot fly. This is doctored footage.
I love this. I love that these guys are getting so involved in their
game. Incredible. Oh my God.
It's such a good Jesus. They're terrifying too. So they've been doing stuff like rolling out mechs and new weapons and stuff, but they've rolled out this new bug, and anyone who tweets about it, the higher ups are like, this is fake. This man is a propaganda machine.
That's so fun, man.
Really, the DLC costs like $40 now. It's so nice to have a continuously updating game like that. And
yeah.
For free.
All I want is just make it cross-platform. Please put it on Xbox. I would buy it day one.
I think PlayStation and PC?
Yeah, it's a PlayStation Studios game.
Damn. Oh, well.
I have faith because it is such a cash cow. They will want to put it on another console.
Yeah. Maybe we can look forward to that at like the Microsoft E3-esque thing that's going on this summer.
I'm ashamed to say I've spent money on cosmetics in this game, but I was just like, ooh, I need that orange helmet.
Those capes.
That looks so sick. The capes are sick.
Capes are so fun. Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like no game has given me more FOMO than this, like, since... God, I don't even know. Not
it
even
was the Eyes Wide Shut VR game.
Yeah. Not even Tears of the Kingdom. So,
We got a big update to Kate Watch. We talked about it a little bit on the last pod. You know, Kate's been missing since December.
Yep.
She has then probably indirect, you know, an answer to our podcast, released a picture with her and her children.
Yep.
And then news agencies quickly took it down because Twitter sleuth determined, well, actually, you don't even have to be a Twitter sleuth. You just have to have two eyes to see that this picture has been doctored. It came out that like it looks like it was taken in like the middle of like November or something, or during the middle of the summer. It looked like someone like did like a 1-to-1 comparison between the Kate in that picture and the Kate on a Vogue cover. There was another picture that came out with like her and her mom on the way to the doctor, but she had like the same hairstyle she had from like 2019 or something like that. So it's not looking good. And then Kate came out and said, guys, it's just because I'm an amateur photo doctorer. Like, I'm trying to like be an editor and, not Kate. We see right through this.
The or future you queen are. Of England is doing her own Photoshop.
Yeah.
It no.
That's a child's lie. That's a lie from someone who doesn't know how the world works.
I want to know. I saw the photo get posted, and I was like, "Oh, that's lovely. Great." Went on with my day. Who was the one? Mm-hmm. Who's the first person? Similar to who was the first guy to like milk a cow, but who was the first person to go wait a tick and like scroll in and see like pixels were off? Like,
it was a white lady who hasn't slept in 2 weeks. I can tell you that much. Right?
Yeah. Like, what is it? The fact that Kate Middleton hasn't been seen publicly has no effect. I don't know.
Are you on the side of let the royals be?
I'm on the side of. I think this will be the last straw for them, and they'll just be like, giving it up. See you later. We're just entering private
no
life.
No more monarchy.
Yep, no more monarchy. Just
take us off the money.
Make it a museum of only our stuff. See you later. It's just wild.
I think it's lazy writing. You see this so often nowadays, when they'll just repeat the story that was popular a while ago. Like how, you know, The Force Awakens is just a repeat of A New Hope, and you know, it's like, yeah, the royal family, they killed a princess in the 90s, and now they're just gonna do it again because it was popular then. We've seen it before, and I don't think you can capture that magic a second time.
Truly. Yeah. Oh man,
I've got producer Jess sending me updates from the Spanish news, like the news of the nation of Spain on the timeline.
Oh, yeah.
This is how deep it's getting.
It's deep. It's a little crazy. And what happened was, there was a Spanish reporter who was there around the time that she went under for surgery. And she came out and said, yeah, it's not good. It's not looking good. She's in a coma. And the thing is so usually the royals, they don't address stuff like this. It was wild that they even had to release a picture of Kate. They addressed this. They came out and said, this person is lying. They've always been liars. They're awful. So I'm not saying, but I'm also saying, you know, it's a little fishy.
Yeah. And then like it seems a lot like the Helldivers thing. It seems a lot like bug sympathizers. Kate's alive. She's right here. They've also soft launched his mistress.
Yeah,
they were like, oh yeah,
apparently he's been two timing.
They were like, oh yeah, here's this lady who he's been seeing for 12 years. You all knew that, right? And people were like, what? You can't just do that. Of course you know about her. Who could forget Dear Rat Boy?
I didn't know.
So now what do you say, Sean?
Should I don't still know.
Stay out of their business.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is crazy. I didn't think it got this deep. I just thought,
like, I'm sure it gets deeper.
Man, oh man.
Well, I'm sure we'll have an update by next episode.
I guess so.
I still think she's somewhere in the Himalayas, and the royals know where she is. But until then, she's just reciting her sutras.
I firmly believe that if they could get sympathy out of it, they would.
Right.
So if she was actually sick, they would be like, please pray for us.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. I
undergoing a transformation.
A part of me hopes it gets a part of me hopes it gets to the point where the Kansas City professional baseball team has to change their name. Like, I don't know how bad that would be. But like, hey guys, we can't be the Royals anymore. We have to go to.
Yeah.
No, we're the Indians. We bought all the old Cleveland jerseys.
Cleveland gave it up. It's ours now. We got the Chiefs and the Indians. Let's go.
Us the Braves.
You're all wrong about which state we're located in. Fuck you, Kansas City.
I think we should get rid of all the problematic football teams, but put them all in one state to become the epicenter of racism. We're going to keep the logo in the history. We're just going to put them all in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. Jesus.
You can't laugh at that. You guys can't laugh at that.
I didn't. I was thinking of a state that didn't have a team.
You put three white boys together and they accidentally recreate it.
The Trail of Tears.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Every now and then,
someone... This is what happens when Killers of the Flower Moon doesn't win Best Picture.
Right. Lily Gladstone set podcasts back 20 years.
I'm here to see about these podcasts. See who's been making them.
Who's been making them? Who's been reverse engineering the Trail of Tears?
Yeah. In a vacuum, Andrew Jackson will always appear. Good Lord, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
I just thought of
second episode were canceled.
I was thinking of a state in the center of the U.S. that didn't have any franchises.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
Yeah, that's what they thought, too.
Lo and behold.
They could put it in that finger part that for a while, long time was no man's land.
The panhandle.
Do both Florida
Oklahoma have a panhandle? I think they both have. They both have to have a panhandle. I like to do a whole episode of Radish at some point soon with my personal rankings of all the states in the United States, because Peyton and I get in arguments quite often about, like, what's your problem with this state? And it's all arbitrary bullshit, but I do have legitimate problems with states. Like Missouri, either take Kansas City or don't.
Producer Jess is from a country with five states. Two of which don't even have names. They're just like, that's the Western state. She is fascinated at the 50 states. They're like Pokemon to her. She's just like, what's this one have? We've gone through all of the list of like hyper regional foods by state, like that big tenderloin sandwich from Indiana. And she's amazed that all the states have different laws and different accents. And it's basically like another continent.
Yeah.
Going from Georgia to Louisiana is basically like going from Europe to France or Spain to France.
Something like that.
Europe to France. Going from
Europe to France.
I mean, I'm sure Jess has seen below the fall line in a single state of Georgia, totally different place.
Yeah.
Completely.
Like,
yeah.
Sure.
There was a TikTok going around of a guy being like, Americans aren't well traveled. They've only been in the US. And a British guy was like, hang on a second. I moved here. You have vastly underestimated how many different biomes are in the US. It's like, if you're in Spain and you want to go skiing, you have to leave the country. If you're in the US and you want to go skiing, you can fly domestically to snow.
Right.
It's just. We'll do a state ranking stream.
Yeah. She is incensed that there's a Kansas, and there's a state nearby Kansas that is called Arkansas.
It's the subreddit
that is not pronounced Arkansas.
Subreddit. Wait, did Arkansas claim Arkansas? They should have.
It's been fun to watch someone learn the states.
That's great.
And be like, hey, Alabama, it's the fall guy. Mississippi's the real degenerate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh no, it's just
y'all see this. Y'all see that coworker music tweet this week?
Sure did.
Let me read it. So obviously, this is poking fun at your coworkers. So it's literally just a list of bands that have been determined to be coworker music. Number one, Kerrangbin. Shot right between the eyes. They've already got me. Jeff Rosenstock, Daniel Caesar. Here we go. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Ooh.
Hozier, which I didn't even know Hozier was still making music.
My sister saw him recently.
He had an album. Oh, really? It's Hozier.
Hozier. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had to. Believe it or not.
Mount Joy, Joji, Claro, pre-gay reveal though, and Noah Cahan.
No,
I don't know. I don't have enough coworkers.
Here's the thing. I think everyone had issues with this. This is the stupidest fucking tweet of the year. This is, yes. to call this coworker music. They so fundamentally misunderstood the concept of coworker. Whereas like everyone was saying, like, do you work at a bisexual coffee shop? Because yeah, like every artist they've listed, I work in a record store. many of those are just us. Like, that's like my equivalent of coworker music is Sleek Token.
Yeah,
I don't know. If, there's just like there's some. I'm glad this person got roasted into the ground as much as they did, because it's so fucking stupid. And I'm not just saying that as like a fan of several of those artists, but like, what? Coworker music is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go see Pink. It's live. That's coworker music. Like, coworker music is
Eminem.
People who have guested or currently are guest are judges on The Voice. That's coworker right. music. Coworkers yeah. are so hyped about
Gwen the Stefani Justin Timberlake is album. Music.
Yes, the new Justin Timberlake album coming out tomorrow. Coworker music. Casey Musgraves, not quite. Mm. It's thank you, Gus.
Cat just chimed in.
Yeah,
Cat's like, hey.
Gus is a big Casey Musgraves fan.
It'd be so funny if he was like, they don't like real music like Coldplay. It's just like, you're the coworker.
If it's music being played on the radio, that is coworker music. If it's stuff that like, in my eyes, that's what you know. But like,
Congos
like,
is coworker music.
Oh my god, Congos is dead.
Congos is still making music.
I think so.
Here's the thing. Okay, so again, we can Krongbin specifically. Krongbin is still like they were at the top of the list. They're a funk trio from Austin. Really good, really cool.
That is not coworker music.
It is not coworker music. Very much not coworker music. We play it in the shop all the time. They're super popular. People love them. I think they're great. They are hitting the line. They're at the line of being. They are. Beer commercial music. I've heard them at Heineken ads. And so like that's like beer ad music is just like right below Jeep Core. And I'm sorry, Will, for using that derogatorily, but it's the truth.
It's fine. I know what I'm about.
Yeah. I have like this ranking of music. Like Krongbin's like kind of beer ads. They're kind of like the new Black Keys. Like the Black Keys, you couldn't get away from fucking, you know, Gold on the Ceiling, or like you got a Miller Lite ad or whatever, and they're playing like now it's like, oh, it's like, oh, this is
still
cool.
Good records.
It's like, yeah, like it's like Leon Bridges, like they're still like recognized as like good, they're fine. But coworker music is truly just like the most plain, uninviting, just moderate music you can imagine, because it's like your weird coworker comes in like, hey man, did you hear the new Hardy track? Like, no, of course. Like, I want to like engage with, you know, music, and not
you want
just,
us to
like,
get taken off the internet.
Oh.
Taylor Swift is coworker music.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Taylor Swift is everyone music, to be fair.
Like, that's
it's just lowest it's, common denominator.
She's unavoidable. It's we're saying this now as millions are tuning into the Eras Tour Taylor's version on Disney Plus. It's
you might be a coworker if you get excited when Jake from State Farm shows up in a commercial.
Yeah.
Jake from State Farm went to the same acting school I did. I knew him.
Yeah.
He is the most famous person to come out of my class from acting school.
I'm going to start telling that to family members.
That's so funny. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's my claim to fame.
I love that so much. Here's the thing. Okay. We don't have to turn this whole episode into Taylor Swift, but
we should.
I was reminded today why I cannot fully, with my whole chest, despise and hate everything Taylor does. It is because if my favorite artists were at the sort of level of cryptography and Easter eggs and lore as Taylor Swift, I would be full in, man. Like, I work at a record store, of course. We got a Swiftie fan coming today, and I brought up, I was like, oh, that's right, like Eras Tour, like that comes out on Disney Plus, right? And she said, yeah. And a lot of people are thinking, like, since she was promoting that it premieres at 6 p.m., Pacific Standard Time instead of 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She never does Pacific Standard Time. People are thinking like, oh, what's the 6 mean? Like, what could that possibly mean? Or maybe it's like a 3-hour movie, so maybe something's going to drop at midnight.
That's just untreated schizophrenia.
Here's the thing. It's just like, if Gizzard were doing stuff like this, which the fandom certainly has dived into that kind of stuff, I'd be all in, man. There was a point like she was saying like, oh man, she's like been giving like all of her hints of like in twos, like she's been giving the peace sign on tour, or like it's like it's only 22 days into this, or this goes out in 2 hours. Like, everyone's like, is she releasing a companion album? What's going on? And it's fascinating to me to be on the outside of this, to hear completely bland music that sounds like the meanest girl you ever met in high school singing about you. And but like she inspires such like, I have to find the secret. I will unlock it. Like to inspire a QAnon style chromosome or neuron in the human brain. A part of me is a little bit jealous. Because like if, again, if Gizzard did it, Radiohead kind of does it. If they like really fully dived in, I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm in. Let's sort it out.
I
listening to music should not be the Da Vinci Code. I will make that clear. That should not do that.
The thing is, there may be a shadow leader in the Taylor Swift PR team who's like, we'll do Pacific Time. This will be, but I genuinely don't think she's sitting around thinking up riddles, which I think a lot of people don't realize that she has flights to do. She has 13 minute flights to make from one side of Los Angeles to the other.
And I am going to disagree with you, Will. I think she is fully behind. Like, I think she is expertly crafting everything to her persona and her fans. All right, Brain, she has help. Point. I'll believe it, but like, I think she's.
Brain built. Says, "What if I listen specifically to the Da Vinci Code OST? If you listen to Red Taylor's version over the audiobook, it will give you everything you need to know. You got to go to those coordinates of the Vatican."
Brain, I'll say, Da Vinci Code OST goes fucking hard, man. Early Zimmer, does man, it? That's oh yeah, it's that last track, like the finale track. Good shit.
I don't know my shit. I might go listen.
It's good. I was in. Yeah, I was at the Louvre, and it was playing in my head. I was like, "I'm going to discover the secret of the Holy Grail."
Someone's ripping the Mona Lisa off the wall.
They won't let you do that.
While Sean calms down, Will, can you give us your show and tell for this week?
Mine's really old. I've just been kind of going through my. I have a policy where if I pay full price for a game, I have to play it.
Sure.
Until I. Yeah, so like if I have lots of games that I picked up. I use a site called, this is a bonus show and tell, a site called Deku Ooh. Deals. It's an incredible site for tracking your wish list and what's on sale. You make your wish list and you say, hey, these are the games I want. And if you're someone who's like, you know what, I don't need to play games at launch, just let me know when they go on sale. It will send you an email and says, hey, Final Fantasy VII Remake is on sale for half price this week. And you're like, sweet, Ooh. Boop, pick it up. And then it can just sit on your backlog forever. So I have lots of games that I spent like $5 on. But I try and play through everything. So this is kind of an old one that I bought when it came out. Like, I think I got it for Christmas. But Pokemon Legends Arceus, I've picked up.
Classic.
And I think this is the best Pokemon game.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
You agree?
I agree. I think it, well, here's the thing. I like traditional JRPGs. So with the fact that they brought in, you know, the turn-based, they updated the turn-based combat a little bit, made the Pokemon like actually in the overworld and stuff like that. I really enjoyed it. I felt like it took a little bit of a step backwards for Pokemon Scarlet, but that's just me.
Well, Scarlet was developed alongside it by a different team.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that the next Pokemon game takes some lessons from, because I love throwing your Pokemon out from the overworld and being standing next to the battle and being able to walk around it and like, if your guy does Hyper Beam and you're in the way, you get hit by it. Like, yeah, of course. Right. Like, there's so much cool stuff here. And, it's you play, you get isekai'd back to feudal Japan, and your Pokemon have kind of just been found, and you're having to like complete the first Pokedex, and you can catch Pokemon by basically clubbing them in the back of the head with a heavy ball. Right. If you sneak up on one, you can just whack it with the heaviest ball you have and it like gets stunned. But it's so fun. You just try and complete the Pokedex. At first I thought you had to complete the Pokedex for every entry. So I was like, come on, Ponyta, we gotta do this move three more times so I can move on to the next one. But you don't have to do that. But yeah, it's a lot of, if you're someone who's been hasn't played Pokemon in a while. And, you know, kind of wants to get back into it. I think this is the one to pick up for Switch. It's a ton of fun. And it doesn't have two versions. So you can catch them all with one purchase, which is, I love that. I love not having to buy Sword and Shield.
Mm.
And it has,
it's
it has,
a good game. I definitely back you up on this.
It's got mythicals that you can get the whole game, which is my least favorite Pokemon is Celebi, where you have to have been at GameStop. In 2001 to get it.
And I always wondered about that. as I never did it because I didn't want to be like a 28-year-old walking into GameStop like, hello, children. Y'all are here for Mew.
Can I please get Zarude?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate game. Timed Pokemon and the fact that there's like, I'm trying to go through and do all the legendaries. I'm kind of working on the decks in home. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten, what was it called? Galar done. I've gotten Kanto pretty much done. And I've gotten almost Sinnoh done. And the ones that I'm missing are all just like, you had to have been there when it came out. Yeah. And I'm like, that's how, why is that a requirement? Is that I had to have been playing this game when I was 15 and too cool for Pokemon. Right. This one, they do give you Manaphy and Fionn and stuff. Celestia. Bangers.
Again, back to a podcast where we're just naming things and going, yep. Ponyta, yep.
Remember Giratina? Hell yeah.
Machamp. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. They actually make it easier to get Machamp in this game. You don't
need
they have
the linking cable.
Anyways. Moving on. We're going to get Sean mad again. Poor Things came out. I meant to catch it before the Oscars. It came on Hulu like the day of the Oscars or close to it. I haven't been able to catch it yet. Sean has had nothing but great things to say about it. So I've been excited. And things that I've heard about it, I've been excited. But then I go on YouTube and someone's like, this is the smuttiest thing that I have ever laid my eyes upon. And I will not enter the gates of heaven anymore because I have seen this film. Like, people are really, really against this.
We've taken on the neo-puritanicals before. It's fucking stupid.
I told you, Sean.
Sean has a headache.
It is. We didn't do a ratties. Poor Things got me ratty for movie of the year. It like. Also, I watched it in early January, so I don't think I would have gotten in time. Either way, it is a beautifully weird, grotesque, wonderful movie. I highly recommend. I think the both of you are going to love it. It was the one movie I saw last year where every day after I saw it, I was still thinking about it just because it's just like the world is fantastic. The characters are real weird and wonderfully performed. The score is my favorite of the past several years. I think it deserved everything I want the Oscars. Well, okay. It got production design, costume, it didn't get cinematography, but it got a lot of like the technicals, which were extremely well deserved, makeup and hairstyling. Emma Stone won for best actress.
Yikes.
We were all rooting for Lily. I was rooting for Lily. Here's the thing. Lily's not done. She's going to be
Emma Stone's done.
She's always fantastic. Emma Stone also not done. Emma Stone, of all the other nominees, Emma Stone also deserved best actress. It was like, I was just saying it sucks that she's up against Lily Gladstone, but it seems like the Academy was like, meh. Either way. Poor Things is a truly wonderful movie, and it does require you to like accept the world you're presented and the concept. But I think anyone who's like experienced a Frankenstein story before and goes, oh, okay, yeah, I think you can take it. No, that's a little blasé to say. It's hard for me to like describe like why. It having such a problem with it is just pretty much useless, and you're just being performative, and you're like, oh, but it gives me the ick. Like, have some media literacy.
Just because there's sex scenes in it? I mean, I heard it's pretty. It goes pretty far, but
the sex scenes are pretty graphic.
There's sex like, too.
most of them are pretty fun or heartfelt, or there is a purpose to them. It's not like the person last year who was like, why do they keep putting sex scenes in movies are useless?
like the sex scene in Oppenheimer. Yeah. Totally.
That's how he gets the idea for the bomb. He doesn't. If Oppenheimer stayed a virgin, this wouldn't happen. it's an allegory that having sex will make you want to kill people.
Yeah. Poor Things gets a lot of its criticism from what I've seen. From the fact that it's the crux of the movie is that Bella Baxter was previously a woman who committed suicide by jumping off a bridge. She was found by Godwin Baxter, played by Willem Dafoe, who pulls her out of the river, discovers that she is pregnant with a baby, uses the baby's brain to revive her. So Bella is essentially reborn with her child brain. And so the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie or so, you see Bella essentially a toddler. Emma Stone puts on an amazing performance. It's lovely. It's weird. People, I think people are just seeing that concept like, oh no, I could never, but they're just not like, I think the director and writer, Yorgos Lanthimos, was just like, just accept it for what it is. Like if you, it's just a movie. Like we're not saying like, this is okay to do. It's just like a weird, like kind of grotesque situation. And it presents, it flows out into a truly beautiful and wonderful story. And like, if you've seen like The Lobster or The Favorite or Killing of a Sacred Deer, or even Dogtooth. I haven't seen Dogtooth yet, but if you've seen like Yorgos's like previous like A24 entries, you know that his movies are like exceedingly pessimistic. Like they're so negative and they're like, oh man, everyone hates each other. This is, you leave the like theater or you finish the movie and you're like, ugh. Poor Things. I sat there in awe during the title, like the credits. And I was just like, that was truly like a beautiful thing. I cannot endorse it enough.
I would watch it,
see it soon.
If it was called Poor Things, P-O-U-R. And it was about a cold one. Because I need that right now.
Cold yeah, one and a pair of car keys.
But a Modelo.
One.
150 key.
And planning for an Oscar party, which we did not end up having, unfortunately, Peyton and I did say that our drink table would just be called Poor Things.
That's good.
Nah.
It's kind of stole my joke. That's good.
Mine, it was 1 week. I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, can I take a second to talk about Jogan?
I recommend. Yes,
with your please. The traitor's voice, no less.
No, that's my Shogun voice. That's not my my traitor voice. No, I just like how the FX presenter goes, and now Shogun. It is a new show on FX. It's humongous. It's a huge show. When it was coming out, all of the articles written about it are like, is this the next Game of Thrones? It's not. It's only gonna be one season, but it is humongous. It is amazing. It's probably going to be my show of the year. It follows a novel. It also follows a TV series from the 1960s that I didn't know existed, that over a quarter of the country, a third of the country even tuned into every single week. And that was like Shogun was America's reference point for Japan for the longest time. And it's a story that's set in...
We're covered.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I think it's the Meiji era. People who know their Japanese eras, correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, when Japan was closed off to the rest of the world except for Portugal, and guns were starting to enter the country. Really, it follows a man who is English sailing for the Dutch, who washes up on Japan's borders and essentially is used as a political pawn between all of these different warring leaders in Japan at the time. It is so interesting watching. It's like political intrigue meets strange man in a strange world meets sick ass fighting and sword play. And I mean, just right off the bat, you just out of nowhere, you see a guy's head get lopped off. Like, right.
Hell yeah. It'd
be pretty grotesque.
That's the first thing I thought of. That really frightened me.
It was like a jump scare. And I've still been thinking about it. It's really, really good. If you watch, like, if you're one of those people who are like, oh, I watch all the big shows, Shogun is one that you should definitely watch. It's really fun.
No, not Coworker Show. But I watched the first episode. I really did enjoy it. Similar to a bunch of like prestige TV that's premiered in the past 2 years, I like watched the first couple episodes and I don't get back to it. But this one, I'll get back to whether producer Peyton likes it or not.
I've got kind of a problem with this show because it's called Shogun and there's lots of swords. And is this like a Surf Dracula thing where they're building to it? It's like Shogun, Shogun. And at the end, they're going to show it. And like, that's the finale. Like when Daredevil gets his suit, or is it
honestly,
is it ironic?
Like, honestly, maybe. Like you jest, but that actually might be a plot point in this show.
Cause I think Shogun's what we're all yelling at home.
Right.
Yeah. I've just enjoyed so far the true distaste and hatred between Protestants and Catholics on the show. Like the first episode is just like, I'm not going
to
let
it used to be on site.
It used to be. It's like there was a time where the three of us would never get along. At least
2018.
But
first couple seasons.
I will say
it.
A side effect of the show is that it is going to make me want to rewatch Silence from Martin Scorsese, because that like was about the introduction or the continued like attempt at introducing Catholicism and Christianity into Japan. And it is a fascinating movie. And that I find that subject is really interesting. And I like that the show kind of dives into it while also balancing so many other things, including having a Tom Hardy clone named Cosmo Jarvis. That's his name.
Yeah, good name.
He seems like a Cosmo Jarvis. He like overacts to the point where it's like, I'm okay with this. Like he's really over there. He's like Tom Hardy if he took a lot of pre-workout before he started filming.
Tom Hardy.
I want to check this out. My only frame of reference for Japan is the 3DS game Yo-Kai Watch. So I'm excited to see right. how this ties into that.
Yeah. It's pretty much one to one.
I figured it would be some references to Yo-Kai Watch.
Guy who's only played Yo-Kai Watch. Shogun reminds me a lot of Yo-Kai Watch.
This is just Yo-Kai Watch.
the co-worker take on Japan. Yeah, I know they do like cars and Yo-Kai Watch.
When Tyler and I got to Japan, we got in the hotel.
Just Yo-Kai.
We turned.
It was only Yo-Kai, as far as the eye could see.
We got to the hotel and we put on just the basic cable or whatever, and Yo-Kai Watch was on, and it really set in at that moment of like, oh, there's no subtitles here. I don't know what's going on. It's
there was how much subtitles could have helped that show either.
There was a brief moment where I was like, hey, where are the subtitles? Japan.
Japan. All right, we have to change the mood a little bit. We're gonna have to pour one out. Congress has voted to shut down TikTok. It still has to pass in the Senate, but old Joe Biden has already said, hey, if it passes the Senate, I'm gonna sign this. So we might be within our last few weeks of TikTok here. A few months, I should say.
If it goes, we got to do a farewell TikToksicated.
Truly. Yeah. Man, what more of a coworker move than right. pivot fully to Instagram Reels?
Yeah, let's see what Threads is up to.
It's like, oh, you're going to love this video of a guy being kind of silly around his wife, Instagram Reels. No, I want to watch the truly just disturbing stuff.
I want to watch the parades going down the streets of some Latin American country with the most strange looking
the worst looking Ant-Man.
Yeah, the worst looking Ant-Man you've ever seen. Oh man, my TikTok is literally 1/8 that.
I think those parades are one of the greatest contributions of Catholicism to the known world.
I wish they did them here. We do not do enough parades in this nation.
No, we don't. There's like Mardi Gras in like three cities and then Thanksgiving.
The closest we have is like the Times Square fake like Elmo.
Yeah.
Right. But those guys really aren't. If those guys did a parade, if they could get themselves organized for a minute and walk in a straight line.
100 of them.
That's just SantaCon.
No, not walking in a straight line. That's finance bros. They're doing line dancing. And
the cops are going to put out spike strips. That's not good. We can't.
But we might not have to go far, because it looks in the notes here, it says that X.com, this is the first I'm hearing of this, is preparing to become a video first platform. Is it really trying to rip off
Linda, TikTok? Linda Iacchino today said that
the world's most cursed woman.
You say Iacchino?
Yeah, it's like it's a Starbucks drink that's exclusive in Nepal.
Oh shit.
Or what every dad calls the double chocolatey chip frappuccino.
Iacchino. She said that x.com is going to a videos first format, which immediately people were like, I cannot wait to go to X videos.
Yeah, that sounds great. Go to xvideos.com.
Yeah, you can look up more at xvideos.com.
Great.
You've already named your site X, and now you're like, now we only do videos.
It's we're pivoting to a videos first platform. You're pivoting to a Sean last platform.
I don't know if this, apparently, I cannot verify this. I'm not a journalist. I'm not going to pretend to be. This is just a tweet I saw.
Yeah, just said there's tea.
Apparently. Well, they do that now. And now that the Gen Zers are getting to be journalist age. apparently, Elon Musk went on the Don Lemon show. He was like the CNN guy.
Don Lemon is a show? I thought he was kicked off of CNN.
Well, he's got a show on X. On formerly Twitter. is like a streaming show, and apparently the interview went so badly that you can't find the video of it.
Oh, dang. God.
Release the lemon cut.
I do want to see this. I do want to see this. This sounds like Nathan Fielder show level of cringe.
Man.
I'd be down.
This is from CNN. Don Lemon says Elon Musk canceled his deal with X after a tense interview. So he did one episode and was like, yeah, you can't be on the platform. I need to see it. Man. I need to see what he asked.
They got to release it. Have to release it. I know they Trump teased banning TikTok years ago and it never came to fruition. I'm not wholly convinced about this one. I think it's going to come to some sort of deal where China is going to be, or the Chinese company that invests in TikTok is going to be like, all right, cool. We'll take a step back. And then because like they have so many users, so many people depend on it. I can't imagine it's actually going to go away. And if it does,
it's going to be like Vine.
I'm going to have so much fun. I'm going to start reading again.
Or Bite.
Or Bite. Yeah.
There was, I heard like a thing on NPR. You give three white boys a podcast. They're going to mention an NPR.
Oh, yeah, son.
It said that like it was like a candy shop in New York was like, we get all of our customers because we just make videos of us making candy on TikTok.
Yeah.
that is like core TikTok is just like an artisan doing a really satisfying task.
I was on a plane once, and it wasn't TikTok as far as I know, but we had this horde of horrendous children behind us. Just the worst imaginable children behind us. And one of them was watching a mukbang video, the loudest mukbang video I've ever heard, where the person was only eating noodles. And so it was slurping sounds for minutes on end. It truly sucked. And I hope, I don't want to hope any ill on and children, but it was awful. But at one point, as we were starting to land, the father took the iPad away and the child lost its mind. It truly went feral above a level that's like should be known to like Homo sapiens. It was out of this world horrible. We can't do that to like Gen Alpha. Holy shit. Like they're already in restaurants with you give three guys in their 30s a podcast, but like they're already in restaurants like watching iPads with their headphones on. If you take away TikTok, like, what are they gonna do? They're not going to get better. They're not going to be like, oh, I guess I got to start my accelerated reading.
January 6th, two, but with children.
You're coming at this from the perspective of not that we need to take away TikTok for children's attention spans. We need to give it to them to pacify them from rising against us.
I think they're too far gone. You know, like eventually.
Right off that whole generation.
Whatever generation we produce. They'll be better off because we have all seen
the ones like, fighting the heretics.
How Zoomas and Alphas are just like
Zoomas.
Only on their phones. They don't know how to type, and technology is poisoning their brains. And like, all right, we're gonna put our kid into like a fucking Captain Fantastic situation where you gotta go survive out in the woods and then come back to us.
I do not know what the next social media platform will be, but I know the one after it will be cave paintings.
I hope so.
If I was on a plane and I heard loud slurping sounds behind me, you do not know how relieved I would be to find out it was a mukbang video. I'd be like, oh, thank God. He's watching it on TikTok.
The slurping was like the cherry on the fucking sundae for those kids because they spent the previous part of the flight running back and forth down the aisles, loudly eating Ferrero Rocher and throwing the wrappers on the ground.
Were you going to France?
And just screaming. I was coming home from France.
That was some frozen some French kids right there eating Ferrero Rocher. Oh,
I'm not going to lie. I would Boeing that kid so fast.
The dad, both the mom and the dad like had blankets over their heads and were asleep. And they're like, it's their problem now. And I was trying to watch Interstellar and they were just losing their shit. It sucked so much.
Producer Jess does bring, we were at a ramen restaurant in Australia. And there was, first of all, this lady had brought her baby to a ramen restaurant and just gotten her a big bowl of noodles, which was just like confetti. And the kid couldn't, they couldn't connect to YouTube in the ramen restaurant for the iPad. And so the woman's way of fixing this was to just get mad at the waiter for not having Wi-Fi, which is not a service that restaurants usually have. Like they might sometimes. And it's like a fun bonus. Like McDonald's has it.
Yeah.
But this was like a nice ramen place. And like it was like a whole sit down thing. And she was like, why isn't the Wi-Fi working? And the guy was
the
like,
child.
Yeah, she's just like, my kid's just gonna keep screaming until you get Wi-Fi here. And the guy was just like, am I gonna go buy a router? Like,
do you want soup?
Yeah, we sell soup here. Wi-Fi is not just part of the equation. This was not a promised part of the transaction. This is not an internet cafe.
You could check Google also and see where you're going if they have Wi-Fi available.
She said last time she was here, she was able to tether and that she was getting poor service this time. So again,
the fact that she got that far into details, man, that's horrendous.
That's coworker behavior.
She's someone's coworker.
Before we wrap things up with Sean talking about the manga he's been reading, let us explain to you a video that I have watched maybe no less than 800 times today and absolutely cried every single time. It is a TikTok, or maybe it's a reel. I don't know. It's titled Grandma Wanted to Be First on the Boat. By the way, for people who are listening at home, maybe not if you're driving. If you are driving, I won't judge. But people who are watching on the stream too, I just retweeted it on the main Twitter account or our Twitter account. It is a older woman who is stepping off of the embarkation zone onto a yacht. There is a small gap between the embarkation zone and the yacht that you had to step over, and they are holding her hands to help her get over. The problem is she didn't even try. She just stepped right in between the pier and the boat and went right down.
It's someone
we don't know if she comes back up.
She has no idea how off piers work. Now.
Oh my
god! Go check out our Twitter account, and if you aren't following it, follow our Twitter account. It's so funny. Sean. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Will.
She just, at no point does it ever register that there might be space in between the boat and the pier. She doesn't even look down. She just assumes.
I've never seen.
Assumes boat is going to be beneath her feet.
She seemingly steps deliberately right into the crack.
And when you watch it with sound, it's a perfect cut. Because everybody starts screaming, and you can hear what's probably her son or her husband get very scared. And
well, how do you get someone from the boat? Mom. It's not like she fell off the pier. She fell in between the pier and the boat. How do you?
She does not look like.
Have you dropped your phone in the car seat?
She obviously does not take direction well to begin with. I can't see her being in the water and then being like, swim towards the ladder before the boat crushes you, and her doing it. So,
I feel for Mike White in this moment, creator of White Lotus. If this happened 2 years ago, we would have absolutely had a shot of Jennifer Coolidge doing this exact same thing. That would have been magical. Oh my god. Hope she's okay.
It's like she hops. She hits like a little hop step and just goes right in. Just like a Oh, it's so good.
Okay, good to go. Immediately gone.
Grandma wanted first on the boat.
She had to go first.
She's first on and first off.
Oh man. I know we're going kind of long.
We're gonna cut all my stuff.
Oshinoko. What?
We're gonna cut all my jokes and posts, so it's fine. This will be a tight.
Yeah, I know a specific 4 minute part of this episode that I'm gonna be cutting. So
go ahead, John. Great. I got 4 minutes then.
Which transgression was it?
I think we know.
I don't know.
So one of my favorite series from last year was anime series. You get three white boys on a podcast. Was a show called Oshinoko.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do not know the credits. Sorry to everyone involved. I know the, Will please correct me, the mangaka of Love is War is involved.
Yes. It's his, okay. It's his follow-up.
Okay. It is the pilot of the show alone is worth watching. It's 90 minutes long. It is completely fucking bonkers. It's a blast. It expects so much of you so soon, so rapidly, But once you get through it, I promise it's worth it. The series itself, very good. You're going to learn a lot about the Jack. Here's the thing. I don't really want to get into like who the characters are or what's going on because it will spoil the pilot episode. But I would say it's worth watching. And I'll get into that. It like really dives into the Japanese entertainment industry in many of its facets. The first season I know touches on idols, YouTube, reality TV, TV dramas, that sort of thing. And in a very captivating way, it gets very detailed. And I, after the show ended, after I caught up with like Jujutsu Kaisen and One Piece, I was looking for another thing to read. And I was like, oh, you know what? I really like Oshinoko. Let's try it out. Come to find out, post season one, it does stay widely the same. It just like explores different like facets of Japanese entertainment, including like live theater, cinema. It's a really fascinating look, and at points it does kind of sound like a textbook, but other points fight scenes pop up, but it's not really like fighting scenes. It's like this person's using this acting skill, this person's this using this acting skill, and like the way they duel and go head to head with their like specific acting skills and how they bring up these feelings is really truly fascinating. And I've now caught up to the manga. I'm now weekly with it. And it's hitting a point that I'm not crazy about, but it seems inevitable. And I feel pretty stupid for not predicting it. But it's still, it's kind of Ouroborosing itself in a way that I think we're entering the end game. But I'm still going to read it. But it's hitting points. I'm like, I don't know if you could do that. And they're doing it. But yeah, it's if you have, what was it, Manga Plus, it's available to read there. Season 2 has been announced. It's going to be a blast. The characters are fantastic. It's wonderfully animated. The art style is just gorgeous. The theme song, holy shit.
Oh, theme song slaps.
Rips. Yoasobi, forgive me for the pronunciation. It's a great song. I almost sang it at karaoke if I could find it, but then I realized that karaoke only does not do the Romanized version of Japanese, and that would have been embarrassing.
A karaoke machine.
Yeah. Oh, I just read the creator of karaoke just passed away at 100 years old.
Damn.
Yeah.
Pouring out.
Truly. But yeah, Oshinoko, fascinating series. Real cool to get a look into the Japanese entertainment industry and reality shows and like the mind of artists as we know them, social media, that sort of thing. It's really, really cool. It's I should get back to Kaguya-sama because if it's this level of writing throughout that, I'm in.
Kaguya is great. It's an incredible. It's very similar in that like it's fighting without fighting. It's fighting and like oh. This person has said that they need to meet up with this person this weekend for homework. That means they have to get their number. And it's
just a hoot. I've never seen a fight scenes done like this, but it's great. Not sure where it's going to go. Not sure if it ends soon. And I come back here like, don't just keep it. We'll find out. But right now we're at like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
6 maybe.
I'm excited. This has been on my list for like since it came out, and it was on that weird janky platform, and I was like, I'm not gonna try and do this yet. But honestly, you saying like, oh my god, it's a different, like that's like my shit. So I'm
in. Tyler, just find a way to watch the pilot episode, and I promise you'll be locked in.
They just
Will did told a, me to watch it.
They just did a full re overhaul of High Dive. So the app works cool. Now.
So it's less janky?
Yes.
Ooh.
The app works. It has actual UI now. You can have a watch list. They've really brought it up to the modern age.
Oh.
Good to know.
I wonder if they have a better Apple TV app, if at all.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm sorry.
That's fine. But yeah, Tyler, just watch the pilot episode. Don't read anything about it. Don't look at, just listen to what I've just said.
I've been spoiler free up until this point. So I think that I will probably be fine.
Loser.
I know something happens, but yeah.
There are no less than 4 points during the pilot where you think, well, that's the twist. And it is not.
You're like, oh wow. That is pretty crazy. Guess we got to live here now. And then they do it again.
Cool.
It's great.
Anything else we need to add to the docket here, fellas, before we adjourn? I like, covered a lot in an hour.
I'd like to address the current geopolitical climate.
Oh, okay.
All sides.
Jesus Christ. No, H3 podcast intensifies.
No, I'm good.
Okay, okay. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to Radish, episode 255.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been Tyler. You can find the podcast online at Radish Pod. Check us out next week. We're going to be streaming live on the Tube on X Videos. Do we have a name for our YouTube channel, or is it like a whole bunch of weird letters?
It's youtube.com/@radishpod. You can look up Radish Pod.
Awesome. youtube.com/@radishpod.
I think we've still got
that means...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, we've still got that one like old Radish sampler from like 5 years ago that has, still my favorite moment of all of Radish history.
I have last week's episode up there.
Oh, awesome.
I put them up.
Oh, yeah, if y'all are missing out.
If y'all are video podcast enjoyers over the audio medium, we're going to be there now. So you get to see our lovely faces.
And then, no, it is next week. I'm understanding the timeline now.
No, 2 weeks from now. Sorry, guys.
Well, the two weeks from now. When we're recording, but when this episode comes out, it will be there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's like Tenet. I haven't seen Tenet.
You haven't seen Tenet?
I've been busy.
The 28th, we will be on YouTube, everyone.
Maundy Thursday, everyone.
I'm Will. You can find me at Will from Radish, because I'm Will from Radish. Don't look for me anywhere else.
I'm Sean. You can also find me at Sean from Radish and Sean and Barry on Letterboxd.
All right. I gotta go watch episode 4 of Shogun.
Start logging TV shows soon, and I'm still kind of conflicted about that. We'll see.
Can you do that on Letterboxd?
Yeah.
Not yet, but they're teasing related this year.
Okay. I'll be there.
Tyler, you may turn me on.
I'll be there. I'm going to exclusively do TV shows, so.
All right. Hell yeah.
I only do OVAs on Letterboxd. Bye.
I only do my X videos.
All right, bye. I'm watching this. 4 stars. Bye.